Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on Live Paranormal Radio Network. Please join us at liveparanormal.com. And at all of our syndicates, including iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Blog Talk Radio, and the list goes on and on. Raising the Vibration, the radio show, is an outreach of a nonprofit movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I founded in 2016 to carry on my mom's teachings, both spiritual and humane, after she passed. And it's at raisingthevibration.org for the movement and raisingthevibrationradio.com for this show. And who am I? I'm Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 27-year talk radio host in Los Angeles. And I'm at sheenametalspiritual.com. Every day on the show, we talk about not just peace and love and kindness and unity, but also these four words: ascend, evolve, inspire, love. Basically, what are you doing to make the world a better place? What's your give back? How are you contributing? And then how are you passing that on to others, hoping that they're going to do the same? And I think in this time of COVID and the pandemic and the quarantine, it's so important that we remember how important life is and how important it is to be positive. And I love that expression, if you're doing well, send the elevator down and bring 10 people up. It's true, right? If you're feeling okay in your life at this minute, and a lot of people aren't, then what are you doing to help other people feel that way? So I always have people on the show in the spiritual world, in the entertainment world. Those are my two homes. And in the world of give back, my other home, to talk about, like, you know, what do you do in your everyday life, or what is what you're doing with your life doing to make other people feel good? And my guest today is a dear friend and a regular on many of my shows, but she's never been on this one. She is a wonderfully talented actress and writer and performer who definitely every day is doing things to make the world a better place. She's also been featured on American Horror Story as Pepper the Pinhead and on the new American Horror Stories. And, you know, we talked, she was on Haunted Playground, my Wednesday night show, which is every Wednesday at 6 here. Fans and the way she interacts with people and how wonderful that is. And that's definitely a kind of give back too. Just what are you doing to make it all better and to make living an everyday life a little bit easier than maybe it would be? Please welcome to the show the wonderful Naomi Grossman. Hi, my friend. It's good to have you here.
Hello, hello. What a lovely introduction. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's true though, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but everybody's different, right? But I got into performing at a very young age, to acting, because I love the idea of, like, making people laugh or making them cry or moving them. And I think that's a very significant way to give back to the world, because people need that.
Yeah, I don't know that I always knew that. I always felt like being an actor was kind of ultimately a self-serving vocation. Like, I just want the spotlight. I just, you know, need attention. Look at me. But I don't know. I feel like since Pepper in particular, only because there were that many eyeballs on her, I could really feel that I was an essential worker, that what I'm doing is not just about having my face in every home in the world, but is making people feel and taking them on a journey and helping them escape and maybe helping them, you know, through things. I mean, I don't even know how many messages I get from people saying, oh my, you know, you've really gotten me through this time or whatever. It's remarkable.
Yeah, it's interesting. So last night I was watching, getting caught up on the new season of American Horror Story, the, as you call it on the show, the OG. And I was thinking about how interesting it is, and they did this in season 4 with Pepper, right, in Freak Show, where every character at some point gets a backstory. No matter how evil you think a character is, there's going to be an episode where you're going to see the backstory, and you're going to see how that person becomes who they are. And I love that about the way that Ryan Murphy produces. His shows often have that. Everybody gets their minute. And I think it's so important, especially we were talking last time when you did Haunted Playground a couple of weeks ago about horror fans and why they're so wonderful. And it's interesting because I think maybe people don't know if they're not into horror. Horror fans are all about family. Like, they identify with the family. A friend of mine is a regular on Supernatural. And I went to one of the conventions to see the band play, and I thought it was all going to be about monsters and stuff, but it was about people identifying with these two brothers and their journey in fighting these evil things. And I think that horror is very character-driven. You wouldn't think so. And there's a lot of identifying with the character. And I think even little Pepper, right, the reason that she's so loved is because sometimes we all at some point feel like Pepper.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's no mystery to me why the majority of the fans that I meet at, you know, Comic-Cons and whatnot, out and about, are sort of young girls and often little gay boys and, you know, sort of these...
Yeah.
The unheard, you know, the people without a voice, the people who feel sort of lost and misunderstood and like they're sort of trying to find their place. And that's, I love that I can be that for them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's important, right? And for you to be nice to them and to be a face behind something is so important. Look, I've been to the Comic-Con type stuff and the autograph signing kind of stuff. I was working events like that, or also when I was just supporting friends that were there. And man, a friendly person behind that desk makes your day. And an unfriendly person behind that desk is like soul crushing to fans. And you can feel energetically the minute you walk in that hall, who's in it to be there and who's mad that they're there and just hoping they're going to get some money. And man, it's such
and you're not just
between those two kinds of people.
Oh, and you can not only ruin that, you know, that person's day, but you could, ruin their favorite TV show or franchise or, you know, their childhood dreams. Like, I don't know. Like, I remember once meeting a particular major A-list star, and I was just such a fan.
Yeah.
And he basically told me to talk to the hand. He didn't want to speak to me right then and there. And maybe I could have found a more opportune time to say hello. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I watch his work, and I still see I see the talent, but he's not what he was to me. He's, you know, forever changed. And gosh, when you think about how much work we put into our craft and that you can screw it all up just with just one sort of pissed off look or, hand gesture. Wow.
Yeah.
It's so easy to be nice. Like, it's just, it doesn't cost anything. It's so simple. You know, as much as he did to prepare for all of his, you know, brilliant roles, this took no preparation, and yet he, you know, couldn't follow through.
Yeah, and for what? Like, I understand sometimes, even from when I did my improv shows and you know, you got 200 all want all your attention. I understand being stressed. It was harder for me after I developed a regular heartbeat sometimes, and I couldn't give as much as I could. I couldn't do the 4.5 hour red carpets anymore. I started to realize, oh, that's why handlers move celebrities in for the 10-minute carpet and get them off, because all that energy is coming from people, right? And they all want you 100%, and they don't understand that there's only one of you and there's 200 of them, or at some of these conventions, there's 10,000 of them, right? But you have to sort of put a poker face on, and even if you don't have the energy to give them, you have to have the energy for at least a smile. So what they remember from you is that you gave some warmth to them, because what's just another day in your life, right? For you, Naomi, what's just another con you're going to, another Comic-Con or Horror-Con or whatever it is? This person might have saved their whole life to go to this one thing.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's, I don't know. I guess in my case, I took my sweet time having any success in Hollywood or life for that matter. I got my SAG card on my 15th birthday and wasn't actually able to make SAG insurance until 22 years later. I remember where I came from. I am not jaded. I appreciate every person that that showers me with praise and autograph money and you name it, because they weren't always there, and I really appreciate them. I appreciate not having to drive the Red Bull car and dance for money at bar mitzvahs and model nude in art classes and wait tables all around town. So, I'm really, thankful for each and every one. And, I'm a person who, I was raised in a family that, let's just say 50% of it wasn't super forthcoming with affection. I think, I've been a little attention starved, a little affection kind of deficient my whole life. And, I've always wanted to be loved, and I'm finally loved, and I love it. And I'm really, really thankful for them. I mean, we expect love to come from our, direct family, and I guess what I'm saying is, at least I found it. You know what I mean? I guess what I'm saying is it hasn't always come from the places we would most expect it, but at least I get it. I'm super loved. Again, not necessarily from people I actually know, and that's a little weird, but hey, I feel the love, and I'm very grateful and never forget it ever. So I will never be that guy, throwing his hand up saying, talk to my hand, ever.
I feel that way too, and I've always been so grateful. I think sometimes the gratefulness gene is something that you're either born with or you're not. And if you're not, it takes a very long time to develop it. But I've always had it since I was very young. Even when I was in high school, if I had the lead, I was nice to the kids in the chorus, and I was always nice to the care of me. And I was always trying to hey, let's go meet the audience now. I remember I did a play at the Stella Adler in 2012, an all-women cast. And afterwards, nobody wanted to go out and meet the audience. And I'm like, you guys, this is, essential. Well, I want to take off my makeup and I want to change my clothes. And I'm like, we have a lot of time to do that. Right now, while the audience is still here, we need to go out and greet people and say thank you. I mean, from a business standpoint, it's how you build your following. It's how you build your audience. But just from a humane standpoint, someone has sat and stared at you in a dark, quiet, usually poorly air-conditioned room for 2 hours. You can go out and give them a hug. And so I guess not everybody
really
comes
can
from
do.
That place. Right, and I've always felt that way.
I know. I mean, I don't mean
loved.
to, Yeah, I don't want to give Gen Zers a worse time than they get already. But it's true, there is a sort of, I don't know what it is about this generation that feels a little almost entitled. And I know, you know, my generation, which is your generation, does not feel that way.
Yeah.
Like, I worked for everything I have. Like, I, you know, living, moving home with the parents was never an option. Like, I remember when I moved out to L.A., I knew I needed a car because L.A., and so I bought one from my father. He gave me a great deal, $3,000 for, you know, a little old lady's, you know, granny's grocery getter. And I thought it was fantastic.
Right?
Where else was I going to find a Honda Accord with such low mileage, you know, and if something went wrong with it, I knew the owner and could go to him. You know what I mean? Like, it was a great deal. And when I tell the story and, like, people are like, what? He sold you a car? Like, they can't believe it. But I don't know. That's just, again, it's the way I was raised. And I feel really grateful for it.
Right.
Because I appreciate, you know, every penny I make because I work really hard for it, you know. So it
yeah.
is sort of tough love, but I think it ultimately sort of builds character, builds responsibility, independence, and I do think I don't know. I mean, I have friends who are parents who just coddle their kids because they've got these Gen Zers who expect it, and I tell them, you know, I don't think you're doing your kid a you know, any kind of favors, they're going to find out the hard way that, you know, life's hard, but hey, who am I to tell them how to parent either? I wouldn't dream of doing that myself.
Yeah. No, I understand. You know what I think it is? Because a lot of Gen Zers, their folks are our age, right? And I think
right.
that we grew up being that generation that got exposed to so much news. And we suddenly realized everything could kill you. Like the baby boomers, like, you know, what were they having, you know, sex with neighbors at key parties and all kinds of drugs and eating nothing except from the microwave. And it like never occurred to them like that even smoking was bad for you. But then when the 80s hit, right, when the 80s and 90s,
mm-hmm.
when we were young, when we were becoming adults,
mm-hmm.
everything was bad for you, everything. So I think our generation has grown up as these parents that are terrified that their children are going to die. So they're scared of like Halloween and trick-or-treating. They're scared of vaccines. They're scared of every disease. They're scared of strangers and cars. Hell, I used to walk up and down the street when I was a kid, walk, you know, 2 miles to the liquor store and back. Like, somebody could have picked me up and thrown me in their car. But it wasn't talked about all the time. So we didn't think about it all the time. So I think that these parents are so scared their children are going to die that they're basically just
mm-hmm.
letting them, giving them everything. Like even a lot of these kids are like 20, 25 years old. They don't even have a driver's license. They just Uber everywhere.
I know.
They don't want to do it.
Yeah. But
I mean, getting
again,
a car and taking care of it, that's how you grow up, right?
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, again, you know, my parents, when I was in high school and said, hey, I want to go to Argentina and be an exchange student and, you know, just and skip senior year and just go to just fall in love with Latin soccer players and enjoy a drinking age, and you know, they were like, yeah, when you leave. I mean, truly, they were like, great,
right.
Let me help you pack. They never, and it, I mean,
right.
a part of it is their own background. You know, they were Peace Corps volunteers and left the nest, you know, around age 20 to go do that, you know, living in God knows where, like in Colombia. So I think they understand the value of exposing yourself to different cultures and learning new languages and adventure. And so they were all for it. But yeah, these parents that don't want their kids to, you know, cross the street without a leash, like I don't know. I don't know. I try not to be too pessimistic about this next, you know, about where we're headed. But I'm sort of glad that I'm not breeding. because I have a feeling I'd be raising my kids really differently than the majority of parents right now. And my kid would probably be super annoyed with it. Mom, you know, so.
Right, exactly. Just exactly. Well. But my friends' moms don't make them do anything. And they're scared of everything. And it's okay to be scared of everything. The world is a scary place. We don't need to be scared of, like, putting more fear into our children. That's scary enough to be a child or a teenager without, like, more fear being put in. I mean, even as adults, right, so many people, I think fear is the thing that stops you from moving forward in your life oftentimes, whether it's career, relationships, with your health. Like, you can get
100%.
Hit up in your fear.
Yes,
and never do something.
I mean, it was JFK that said, "There's nothing to fear but fear itself." Like, honestly, it is so ironic that fear is where I found, you know, success, like the horror genre that is. Whereas, honestly, I am fearless. Like, I have no fear. Like, I really don't. Like, because the reason for that is that half the time that the things that you're afraid of don't actually exist, right? I mean, I'm afraid of the, you know, monster in my closet. Really? There's no monster. I'm afraid I'm going to catch COVID. Well, but have you? Like, it's something that, you know, for the most of the case, hasn't even happened. And guess what?
Yeah.
I caught COVID and nothing happened. Like, I actually felt nothing and I'm fine. So, you know what I mean? I guess what I'm saying, and I'm not trying to minimize the fact that, like, you know, millions of people have died and it hasn't been nothing for a lot of people. But I guess what I'm saying is we are so just phobic of our fears. And if we could just stop and only focus on what's actually real, what's actually happening, what's actually, like, true right now, I think we could I just think we'd be a lot better off.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, I did catch COVID, and I do have long hauler syndrome, and I do have all this stuff. And all anybody ever asked me, nobody asked, like, how I am. Like, hey, what's it like to still feel like shit 18 months later? What people ask is, do you think you can get it again? And I always say, no. I mean, I don't think I can get it again. And secondly, like, what's the chance I would get it again? I mean, just because you see, you know, I grew up in a surf town.
And what's
town,
the point of even
see,
thinking about it? I mean,
right,
you know what I mean? Like, what,
you're
literally using up brain, very valuable brain cells that could be used towards something good, like creating something beautiful or doing something good for the world or whatever. You're wasting it on, like, this worry. Again, it's I don't know. There's a woman I love who I know you probably love too, because this is your world. Her name is Byron Katie. And she's one of, you know, Oprah's favorites. And, yeah, she does she has this, what she calls the work, in which she basically, like, goes through. And one of the first questions is it real? Like, my husband hates me. My father doesn't love me. My dog's going to eat my homework. Like, whatever your fear is, like, is it real?
Right.
And honestly, half the time it's not. It's not. It's just our little imaginations go into town, and if we're going to be using our imaginations, then, you know, write a hit screenplay, create a masterpiece, do something positive, not, you know, not freak out, stop the economy, you know, and give yourself some sort of, you know, mental breakdown. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
No, I completely agree. My mom used to have an expression, it hasn't happened yet. She would always say, it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Because, you know, people will worry for when I had a lot of surgeries when I was a kid, and when I had a surgery coming up, she would always say, you know what? The surgery's not for 3 weeks, surgery day. Today we can go to the movies, have fun, enjoy our life. Today is not the surgery day. So you don't sit there and
right.
spend like 3 weeks in a panic for a two-hour surgery, and actually the panic is longer than the recovery time. And it's true. You have to remind
yes.
yourself that this maybe something's coming up, like I have to go to the dentist or I don't want to go. Well, guess what? I don't have to right now, so I can actually have
right.
a good afternoon. But we spend so much time worry about the past and fearing the future that we never live in the mm-hmm. present, and we never enjoy what's happening in our lives. And we see this with our entertainment friends, right? I remember once I told a story.
Oh, yeah.
I was having lunch with a friend who was on a series. She was a regular on a series. She was probably maybe just 30 or maybe not quite 28, 29. And we were having lunch, and she said, I just feel like my life, I'm wasting my life. And I said, okay, wait a minute. You're beautiful. You're on a show. You have all the money you need. She's like, but I'm going to be 30 soon, and I don't have my Emmy, my Oscar, my Tony, and my Grammy. Are you going to sit around and hate your life until those four things happen? And then, Naomi, when those four things happen, is that going to be enough, or then is it going to be something else you don't have? And I think that's how a lot of
right.
people live, right, in this moment of, but why don't I have this? But why don't I have that? And I think as actors and creators, right, any kind of creative person, you need to learn to live in the moment and be thankful for what you have. And look, I always tell people when my clients are performers, and many are, I say you have to look back at your life, and you have to look at all the things you've done, all the things you put on your resume, and be so thankful for that and not go back and focus on all the things you didn't get. Because nobody gets everything. And so you wouldn't
no.
be able to do it if you did. If you got cast in everything, you wouldn't have time to be in everything. Why are you not being thankful for what you have? Why are you spending so much time worrying about what you don't have?
Right.
And I think people
yeah,
do that all the time.
I mean, you're so right about gratitude. I mean, one of the things that I do – again, this is how I was raised. You write a thank you note for anything, anytime anyone does something nice. And,
yeah,
you know, invariably after my birthday, I end up spending like a week, you know, just with like a stack of thank you notes. And, it feels so good to just, it's better to give thank you notes than receive the gifts they gave me that I'm thanking them for. It just feels so good. It's another little practice I have. Before I go to sleep at night, I'll write down like five things in a little notebook by the side of my bed, like that I'm grateful for. And it's kind of goofy, and you know, but guess what? I get to go home, or, you know, go to sleep feeling all kind of warm and fuzzy about, you know, the health I have and the, you know, awesome friends around me and the, you know, wonderful fans and the this and the that, you know, you name it, you know, Sheena Metal had me on her show. It's going in the book, you know, and that,
yay!
You know, I get
right.
to dream of you, and so much better than, you know, falling asleep to a, you know, horror movie. Although I'm thankful that people do that too, because that's why I have a career. So maybe I'll put that in the book.
Right, exactly. No, I do the same thing. Like, I have a folder in my computer. I have a folder that just has, like, radio shows and TV shows and press that I've had. And I, like, have a different thing for each different outlet. And I save a copy of everything. I save a copy of every show I'm on. To me, that's sort of the way to sort of – it's like the gratitude pile. Someday we'll – some
yeah.
miraculous person come into my life and put it all on my website, well, you know what? Hopefully, wouldn't that be a miracle? But really, it's just about I want to remember everything I've done, and I want to remember all the people I've worked with. And isn't that why we're here? I mean, if we're here to just be grateful and nothing's ever enough and, oh, I just did this little radio show, but who cares about this? I mean, then why are we here? Like, what else am I going to do with my afternoon? Sometimes people will say, like, oh, you're doing her radio show or his radio show. You know, they just started. They don't. Nobody really listens to it. Why would you have to do that? And I'm like, well, it's not about me having to. It's about, first of all, I remember being that person that was just starting out and so grateful for the people who did my show. And secondly, what else am I going to do with that hour? Like, why not? If there's free time, I'll do it. Because what else are you going to do with your time? I mean, everybody wants all this free time, but what are they doing with that free time? I don't want all that free time. I'd rather fill my time up with ways that I'm helping people out or doing something for the world or, I mean, what do people do that, like, retire? Do you understand that concept? What is that about?
No, no. I mean, I hope to be like a Betty White who just, you know, hundreds of years from now, just drops dead on a set. Like, there's no retiring. Why would you take a break? Why would I retire when I don't even take a, like, vacation? I mean, don't get me wrong.
I don't either.
When people are like, oh, you should take a night off, you know, put your feet up, relax, you know. Why? I love what I do. I don't ever want to take a break. Why would you take a break when you're enjoying what you're doing?
And there's plenty of nights where nothing's going on, and you have time to do something, whether it's, you know, sit in the sun or sit by the pool. I like to be near water. But even when I watch a TV show or a movie or something, I feel like I'm sort of contributing because I think when somebody creates a story for the world, all of us that watch that story, we're all participating in that story with all the people who made it. And it's kind of being, it's a way to stay connected and tapped into the world, right? Every piece of media that you read, every book you read, every TV show you watch, every song you listen to, you're tapping into and connecting to the collective of everything in the world. So to me, that's humanitarian work. It's not, I'm doing nothing. It's like I'm doing something. I'm connecting so that down the road when somebody says, hey, did you see that American Horror Story? I could say, oh, yes, I did. And then there's a connection there.
Well, and let's face it, I do believe, you know, performance, like we performers are nothing without someone to watch us. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I mean, that's how I know I am a performer on the Enneagram. Like, I am an extrovert through and through. Like, if no one's watching, then why in the world would I do anything? Honestly, that's my sort of outlook on the world. And so, yes, it's essential for us to watch other shows because it takes two to tango. Like, we can't just have them performing into a void. And it's not to say that, you know, just if I don't watch American Horror Story, others won't. Like, obviously, the show doesn't need me as an audience member per se. But, yeah, I agree. I think it's kind of like theater. Like, you don't want to be performing to an empty house. Like, it's a conversation. It takes two to tango. Like, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, did it fall? Like, we performers require that sort of dialogue, even if the other person isn't actually talking, even if they're just clapping or laughing or, you know, tweeting us their approval. Or disapproval for that matter. But, you know, that's what we do it for.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and isn't that, it's the circle of life, right? You make something, Naomi. Somebody else watches that thing. So let's say, okay, so somebody writes American Horror Story. They cast you. You create the character. People see you, then they make a piece of fan art and send it to you. Then somebody else online sees that fan art and maybe is inspired to do something else. And that's sort of the wheel, the spiritual wheel of everything, right? How we're all informing and each other into doing new things. Like, that artist might have never made that picture had they not seen you on the show. Had somebody not given someone a break to read that show, you wouldn't have been on the show. And again, it's a circle of gratefulness, right? We are all touching each other all the time. And,
Part of... Yeah, no, I was I was going to say it's part of what I'm a little fearful, and again, I'm not supposed to be fearful, right? I'm fearless. But I'm a little concerned about this next generation and about how they're so PC to a fault. You know, everybody is getting canceled for just, you know, you look at somebody the wrong way. I just don't think that's how we want to be. Like, for the same reason, like what you're saying, the circle of life, like, I want to make a funny and people to laugh, which will inspire them to make a funny, which will make others laugh, and, you know, and it just keeps going. But if we're constantly afraid of who we're going to, you know, offend or get canceled or whatever, we're not going to make funnies anymore. And we you know, cut off the creativity. We stop the artistry. And I worry about that. You know, I don't want us in this like Handmaid's Tale where we're, you know, afraid to be artists.
No, I agree. I think it's accurate.
Yeah.
What's that? I said, as actors, we have to go back and look at every role.
Yeah, I don't know what the remedy is for that other than to just be fearless.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, I said, as actors, we have to go back and look at every role we ever played. Because, you know, when I was young, in the 80s, like in high school, like, I played everything. I played men, women, young, old. I played an African-American woman once. I played a Mexican Latin woman once. I played an Asian woman once. I mean, I wasn't like making fun of the culture. I loved those characters and I had great respect for them and who they were. Now that's not okay. So now kids are like, oh, how could you? And I'm like, but it's nobody ever, I was an actor. Somebody cast me in a role and I did it. There was no talk that would upset somebody any more than I would be upset if any of those cultures had played an Irish girl. Like, I wouldn't be upset about that. But I remember when Boardwalk Empire started, there was this big to-do, because I am Irish, so I will speak about being Irish, because they cast a Scottish woman to play an Irish immigrant. Now, I'm an Irish person. My ancestors were immigrants. They were indentured servants, so they got it bad. I got to tell you, you know what? The difference in a Scottish person and an Irish person, first of all, it's a very thin line. Secondly, because of the Northern Irish and the Ulster Irish, a lot of Irish people have Scottish blood in them. We've crossbred a lot. We all come from the same gene pool, also the Welsh and the British. Why are we now freaking out because this actress who's Scottish got cast to play an immigrant to America? Well, she also never immigrated to America. So we're going to get madder about that. Well, she's not an immigrant and she's playing an immigrant. If we're going to get that crazy, no one's going to play anything. I mean, you're not a microcephalic person yet you play.
Exactly.
Tennis.
I would not have a career if it were for this. Yeah.
I mean, you
invalidate the acting profession altogether when you do that. You might as well just make everything reality television if that's the case. If all we're doing is playing ourselves, well, no thanks. Then if that's acting, that's not what I want to be. I do it to be someone else, as far from myself as possible, actually, preferably.
That has started to go away, and that does scare me a little bit, because, and if you try to have this conversation, people think that means, oh, you're an ultra-conservative conspiratist, and I'm like, no, I'm as liberal as the day is long, but if if we can never tell a story that isn't about us, then it becomes very narcissistic, because everybody just then is preaching to their choir. And everybody's only talking about their own experience, and no artists are experiencing anybody else's experience. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
What about artists that, like, go to Paris, and then they paint nothing but Paris? Is somebody going to say, well, you weren't born in Paris, so you're not allowed to make this painting because you don't belong here, and you're not Parisian, so get out. I mean, artists are supposed to suck in everything around us when we create.
Right.
And I think it's important we don't
just think of so much art out there in the world that we'd be denying ourselves with this sort of attitude. You know, I mean, my goodness, My Left Foot with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Right.
The Helen Keller.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape with Leonardo DiCaprio? Brilliant.
Yes. Like, I don't, I just, I agree. We need to just everybody needs to just take a chill pill. And, I don't know. Maybe find a time machine to take us back. Take us back to that time when the 70s when we were, you know, going to those key parties. I don't know.
Right. Yes,
but seriously,
exactly.
We've gotten so afraid of so many things, and, you know, including our own, you know, including playing anything other than ourselves. And it's too bad. We've got to, you know, stay fearless and, you know, fight the good fight.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. We need to stay fearless and we need to, because I think that everybody immersing themselves in everyone else's culture and not feeling weird about it, not doing it in a bigoted way, but doing it in an accepting way, is the next phase of human evolution, which I hope is we don't look at each other and see our differences. We love our individual things and we love people's differences, but we don't see each other and go, oh, well, you're a woman, so I dismiss you, or you're disabled, so I dismiss you. We love the difference in people, but we don't rank people based on who they are. But I don't think we're ever going to get there if we don't teach the next generations to be comfortable with each other's cultures and not feel like, well, I can't salsa dance because I'm white, and then that makes me seem like I'm mocking Latin people. Or, do you know what I mean? I can't do the tango because I'm not allowed because I don't want to mock South American people. I mean, you know what I mean? To get to the point where everybody just loves everybody's thing and we're not so worried about it. And I think there's a lot of young people that are like that, and I think that's a very good thing, you know?
Yes. Maybe, you know, sometimes when you point out the absurdity in the situation, then it all kind of comes clear. Like, if we could, I don't know, like that kids movie Cars, you know, like justice for the cars. The cars aren't getting to play themselves because, you know, actors are voicing them. Like, that's no fair. Like, you know, I don't know.
Exactly.
Maybe there's some humor. We can use, like, satire to maybe.
Right.
I don't know.
There's a super, super pissed off pickup truck somewhere because a human voiced a voice.
Yeah.
That was not
the
authentic sound of a pickup truck, and pickup trucks everywhere are furious.
Exactly.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think that hopefully that's something that's good. You know, one area where young people have gotten really great about that is, I think, really sexuality and gender. Like, young kids don't care how anyone identifies gender-wise. They don't care. Because, you know, when we were young, like, gay people stuck with gay people and lesbians stuck with lesbians and bisexual people pretty much nobody liked, and I say that as one, and trans people no one understood. And now you see these kids and everybody just defines themselves or not, and everyone just kind of hangs together in a big gaggle and it's all okay. So hopefully in time they will get there with everything.
Yes. Yeah. No, I
you
hope
know?
So. Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, now with TikTok and whatever, I do have a little bit, even though I don't have kids myself, I have a little bit more of a grasp on, like, where what kids are thinking and, you know, kind of where they are in the world. And, you know, I'm trying to do my part. It's, you know, it's just my little part, but, you know, whatever I can do.
No, I think that's great, and I think, I think that's wonderful. and I think also it's nice that you have all these young fans, and you'll continue to have younger and younger fans as they grow up and get exposed to the show.
Oh, yeah,
as an artist
true.
With this really interesting pulse on young people, right? And as a writer, you need that. You need to, as an actor,
you need to understand what's going on with all kinds of people, even a generation that's not yours. And horror
right.
does that.
I mean,
right?
I'm
every generation it brings in more kids.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. You know, again, since I've decided not to breed myself, I love that I can at least be, you know, the cool aunt. Like, I'm everybody's, you know, all my friends' kids love me. You know, Naomi's coming over. Oh, boy. And, you know, my friends say, wow, my kid has never sat after dinner at the table and, you know, talked and paid attention and engaged. Like, my God, can you come over more? Like, I haven't seen my
yeah.
kid like that. You know, since they were a little child, and now all of a sudden, it's like I don't even
yeah.
recognize this person. So, yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, hey, like I said, I'm just kind of, I'm one little person doing my, what I can do one by one. But,
yeah, but that's important.
Yeah.
It just takes
yeah.
everyone, part of raising the vibration, right, is everyone raises their own vibration. And then in doing so,
yeah.
you automatically raise the collective vibration. I mean, if anybody ever thinks, and I hear this all the time from my clients, like, my life doesn't matter, nobody cares about me, I'm just one person, and that's not true. Every single person sort of living in the light and doing good things for the world adds to the collective vibration, and everybody is needed, and the loss of anybody makes a difference. So anybody who thinks, well, that doesn't matter what I do, or I'm not that important, or I'm just this person, no, we're all completely important because we're all playing into the big picture, right? I am also childless.
Of course.
And I have a wonderful niece and a wonderful nephew who I'm not related to. They're my best friend's kids. And now my girlfriend has three kids, so I have three more. And honestly, it's like
mm-hmm.
these young people, they need me in their lives just like they need their parents because you know, my mom, I didn't have any aunts or uncles, but my mom's best friend was my godmother, her best friend from life and college and then through life. And you know what? My life was different because she was in it. Just the fact that she checked in with me, sent me a card, sent me a graduation gift, made me laugh. You know what I mean? It takes a village, right? They need everybody in their life. So just because you don't have kids.
Yes.
Doesn't mean you can't be important in the lives of kids.
That's true. Well, and, you know, what an appropriate day to have this conversation. Here we are in the middle of this, you know, recall election today. And, and again, we don't want to necessarily get political here, but it's true. Every vote counts. Like, every voice counts.
Yes.
We are a collective, like you're talking about. I mean, you know, a butterfly flaps its wings in Brazil, and there's a hurricane in Louisiana. Like, it's true. Like, one person coughs on you, and you could catch COVID, and you know, maybe kill five people on your way home. You know, like it,
right.
like
right.
that's why we really do have to. Again, not think just about ourselves, but take responsibility and be thinking of ourselves as like a unit, like a community, an ecosystem, and not just about
yes.
like my rights, me. I mean, it's not just about me. It's about all of us. You know, we're connected.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And just knowing that, you don't have to feel alone, right? Knowing how many thinking like you or feeling like you or vibing like you, even if you don't know them, make right? Like you knowing that there are all these people in the world that love you because of your art makes up for some of what you didn't get in your family.
Yes, absolutely.
My mom and that was it. So my family is
mm-hmm.
all my entertainment people and all my spiritual people. That's my family. And I'm so thankful
right.
to have it. So it's, you know
yes.
what I mean? It's that what do the Christians say? God gives you what you need. And it is kind of true when you think about it. If you're missing something
mm-hmm.
in your life, oftentimes somewhere else in your life, it will come in and you'll get it somewhere else.
Right. Yeah, no, I believe that.
So I know I have to let you go. I so appreciate that you're here with me today. This is so fun.
You are so smart.
Oh,
and well-spoken.
I loved
and
it.
Eloquent.
I always love talking to
and
you.
So many great things to say for the world. Please come back and do this again. And where can people find you online, my friend?
I am at Naomi W. Grossman on all platforms. I'm verified,
okay,
so just look for
that.
The blue check mark. Yeah.
Look for that blue check mark. Thank you, my friend. Let's do this again soon. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I do.
Everybody,
you.
The wonderful Naomi Grossman, isn't she fantastic? And I can't wait to have her back. And it's so fun to have you here on the show, my friend, and I thank you for spending some time with me. If you're looking for any information on the show, liveparanormal.com will get you to all our syndicators. I love them all. I'm particularly fond of iHeartRadio. So proud to be a part of that family and the Live Paranormal family. Raising the Vibration Radio will get you to this show and my nonprofit, which is the parent of this show. RaisingTheVibration.org. It's a movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity. It's in essence my ministry and really what I'm doing with the world, carrying on my brilliant mama's teachings, because she was the best and so informed me and the way that I grew up, and I want to share a little bit of her with you every day. This show is on every Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time right here on LiveParanormal.com. Wednesdays at 6 o'clock Pacific time, Playground, everything spooky, scary, psychic, spiritual every week. Please tune into that right here at liveparanormal.com. And then I do 3 video shows on Live Paranormal's video channel, which is facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal. And I will be there tonight doing the companion to this show that I like to call I Am Raising Your Vibration. And you can go there at IamRaisingYourVibration.com and find out more. Also, I am a psychic medium. I do everything psychic and spiritual and many different things. You can find out all about me at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. I do book private sessions and cleanses and chakra balancing and all kinds of stuff. And I would love to hear from you. And I do teach webinars that are live, and I have crystals that are out there for you, your crystal pleasure. And I will be out and about teaching again when the world's a little more normal. Second Saturday of every month is my interfaith service. I'm a staff pastor at Founders Metropolitan Community Church. SaturdayNightSpiritual.com is how you find my interfaith service, and you are always welcome to join us online. When the world is more normal, you can join us in person. Now we do it all online, and if you just go to SheenaMetalSpiritual.com, you'll find out more about me. We will see you next Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time. Until then, my friends, think peace. Live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, always raise your vibration, and remember that I love you, and I'll see you next time. Thank you, Naomi. I'll see you soon.